Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the 10 Laws with East Forest podcast. Today I am bringing you a conversation, well, it's really more of a talk, it's a speaking series from a little talk I did at the Esalen Institute. And I was there last week and they had a series called Conversations on the Edge, mostly circling around like technology and how technology is interfacing with our lives and all the different things that that's bringing up. So I gave a little talk that I called Music as a Tool, kind of combating information sickness. And I'm, you know, if you're deep into any of my work, it's probably stuff you might have heard before, but maybe there's something in there that may or may not be interesting to you. And it was also experiential, like we did a listening meditation. So when that point comes up in the talk, I will just put on the song that I played for the group there in the class or in the talk. Esalen is my first time there, is unbelievably beautiful. I was just so blown away by how the whole thing just hugs the cliff line along Big Sur and the hot tubs there, the hot springs. Really, really, really stunning. Everyone there was so kind, and I'm really looking forward to going back. I was there working with Mikey Siegel, who I think I mentioned last week. He has this group flow experience that is essentially a pretty teched out biofeedback that I was integrating playing music for. So we could do things like measure people's heart rates and also their breath. And there were 24 people all wired up and they had a light in front of them that would interface also at the same pace and like color, like the with the beat of the heart or the swell of their in and out breath. And there would be sounds associated with this. So I could, we spent about 4 days developing this at his place in Silicon Valley with Ian and Alex, just they're like doing some pretty deep coding, pretty deep dive. And we changed their sounds of the breathing to like nature sounds, actually, field recordings of mine and heartbeats in the frogs and cool stuff like that. And then I could play it like music and play music to it. And it was sort of like polyrhythmic and pretty interesting. But it just really hit me about how I just really want to work to bring authentic spiritual experiences to people, however we do that, whether it's just collaborative with sorts of technology or with music or, you know, where we're doing it or who we're doing it with. I found that to be really exciting. So I hope you enjoy this talk. Thank you again to Esalen and Mikey and everyone who is on board there. Darren and Alan too, who are helping. And I'll be in New York City really soon, July 18th. It's a Wednesday night at the Rockwood Music Hall. So tell your friends. I would love, love, love to see our community there and see if we can bring a little bit of ceremony to downtown Manhattan. So that's July 18th at Rockwood. And you can get advanced tickets through my website, eastforest.org/tour. All right. So here it is. Esalen Institute Conversations on the Edge. That's an interesting thing what Jim was saying about that there aren't many places on the planet where you can escape. Like, you can run, but you can't hide, is something I keep thinking to myself. And I think that's an important way to start. But anyway, I'm Trevor. My musical name is East Forest. And just to give you some quick background, East Forest was a project that developed 10 years ago, slowly and organically, through mostly psilocybin shamanic ceremonies and working to discover how music and sound can help us go inside, and how music and sound can help foster a really deep, positive spiritual experience, you know, with or without a psychedelic. But that's sort of where the foundations came from and was sort of initial teacher. So I started getting into modern sound healing techniques that we know about, and also really ancient indigenous stuff, and experiencing that myself to sort of, to try and learn what have they been doing for thousands of years that works with sound? Because almost every ceremony you go to involves sound and music. And I wanted to combine these two things with just my own tastes and my own predilections, and that's kind of the thing. So I'm interested in how music is a tool. But before I get into that, I was listening to the end of that talk, and it's exactly the reason why I sort of picked this subject, because I have a friend in Santa Barbara. He lives up in the hills. He's an older guy. He's sort of a mystic. He's like a lot of things figured out for himself. He claims he had a Satori moment in 1991 drinking some tea at a Chinese restaurant, and ever since then he's just like in a dream world where basically, you know, if any of you met him, he'd instantly be like, oh wow, you're back, you know, and he'd be like, you got to come in. He'd sit you down and he'd give you a reading for like 4 hours about all the past lives you've had together and like all the ghosts that are around you. He'd do some work to clear them, and he'd be so joyful that you'd come back. And and then he'll tell you after 4 hours of talking to you, he says, you know, I don't expect you to believe any of this. This is all metaphor. And you're like, oh, okay. You just told me I was Joan of Arc. But so he's a bit of a trickster. But there's a lot of wisdom. And I recorded him on my first meeting with him on this little recorder. And one of the many, many things he said, he has a lot of lists and numbers and stuff in his life. He mentioned his 10 laws that he lives by. It's his hunter-gatherer's code of 10 that he's developed. I should probably tell it to you. This can be on the spot. It's always see the dangers first. Always protect your feet. Always know where water or good source is. Always be ready for heat. Always be ready for cold. Always know your place. Always master the skills necessary. Always get the job done. Always disallow foolishness. And always rest whenever you can. I probably got a couple backwards. But that's them. Okay, and he says like these are his stars in life that keep his ship sailing straight. And if he kind of just keeps that in mind, everything else is probably groovy. You know, if I know my place, right? If I get a job done, or if I disallow foolishness, these are not immutable. You know, change them as you wish. If you wish to make a different one, go ahead. But this is what I found is like works for me. And that song became the first East Forest song I wrote, where I was getting into like combining field recordings, and on a whim, I remember putting it in, and I just thought, wow, this is really magical. And that went out into the world, and that's become my most popular song 10 years later. And he thinks it's the funniest thing ever. He's like, oh, yeah. He, of course, you know, it's the cosmic giggle for him. Anyway, so he has this idea called information sickness that is really interesting to me. And it's exactly what we were just talking about, okay? And I was thinking back to when we didn't have smartphones. Anybody have like a Palm? Remember those Palm Pilots? I had one of those, and it was cutting edge. And that was about 2003, I think. Because I remember on 9/11, I remember we all had just like phones, and that was a big deal. No one had a smartphone because they didn't exist.
They were around since 98 to about 2000.
Yeah, yeah. The iPhone. I mean, the iPhone has transformed this planet like the atom bomb. And I would just want us to all remember that that wasn't too long ago, within everyone's lifetime in this room, by quite a bit. And so it's such a fundamental change. Like that movie Her, do you guys remember that? Anyone see that? Fantastic score, by the way, in my opinion. But that movie was, we're kind of there, right? The love affair with your phone, like truly. And we see it in children. I was just hanging out with a six-year-old, my girlfriend's six-year-old son. And who has kids in the room? And who has kids that kind of a tantrum? I mean, even if you limit or, you know, whatever it is, but there's a certain attachment to, like, the game on the iPad or the phone, or they really want to just look. I was on my phone, and he came behind me. He's like, and he said, I just like to watch.
I just like to watch. He's like, he doesn't even know what I'm doing. He's like, I just like watching screens. You know, I just like watching you scroll around. And like, if you could touch it, that would be amazing. But this information sickness, you know, that we have, there's all these interesting data points about, I was thinking about this talk and I was just Googling around and something about we get 174, 175 amounts of data of newspaper. If you had a whole newspaper, 175 newspapers a day of information comes your way. Or then 2 years, there's as much data created as all of history up until that date. So I'm assuming that goes like Moore's Law. And so it's the next 2 years, we just doubled it again. Whether or not it's part of Moore's Law, I don't know. But the idea that there's, in the words of Terence McKenna, who was here many times, you know, there's just like this exponential and this concrescence that we're heading to. It's like a destiny we're heading to. And almost like this whole creation of the internet, Marshall McLuhan's line of it being the sex organs of the machines, or humans are the sex organs of the machines, by creating this internet. We're moving towards some sort of, you could call it a singularity or something, but it's like this is the echo of it. And it's just like the echo backwards through time. Whatever it is, we can feel it. We can feel that it's getting crazier and crazier, and there's more and more and more, and we have this information sickness. And as a lot of this talk that caught the second half of this, Tristan, who's talking, I don't know him, but I've heard him talk on a podcast, and it's really fascinating some of the stuff he talks about. Did he already talk? No, I really want to meet him. You know, the people who work at these companies are the best of the best, and their job is they do a better job if they can keep us on the screen time more. Like that's the currency of the data point, right? So like he talked about even the delay time between when the notification number comes up on Twitter. There's a little delay, but that relates to like our dopamine response, and like getting that dialed in right will make us, all these little things are there to work with our brains to really hypnotize us and not just distract us, but pull us in. And that's why we see it with the kids in such an exacerbated way, because it's so obvious, right? And with us, we're a little more sly about it and we can come up with all these stories about it. But I feel it. We all feel it. And this is not something we felt very long ago. So what do we do about it? What do we do about information sickness? And what hit me was that, you know, our attention, and I think this is something Tristan talked about, is our currency. Our attention is our currency. And I thought that was such a fascinating phrase and idea. You know, how we use our attention. So naturally, I started to think about what would be an antidote to this. And I think about music because I'm a musician. And I wanted to make music that was a tool. So it's not just another piece of information or another piece of distraction, but it's a piece of tech like what we're doing with Mikey's workshop, where we're exploring how tech can be beneficial and we can use it. You know, we're using our attention in a conscious way. So the two things I wanted to bring in with that music, first was the nature element. And I want to explain this to you because I want to listen to something. And I want to have an experiential experience where we kind of put it into the practice and see what it feels like. We'll listen to a piece of music. But the nature element, we were just speaking about this morning. You know, we forget that we are nature. Literally. We forget that we are the earth walking around with eyes and a mouth. And we are the earth personified. We're not some different thing. I mean, that's where we come from. And, you know, if I was the earth and I wanted to be creative and do all sorts of wild things and go into space, this is how you do it. We're the ultimate tech. So that element of the natural world is a very important way for us to connect to our foundation and our source. And I have a hunch that something to do with this screen time and our use of cell phones, the internet, social media, it's a form of alternate reality that's pulling us out of the natural world, quite literally into this other world, the screen world. And it does that with our brain and our memories and our experience. So we all feel it. We all feel how when you come to a place like this, you go to the ocean, you go up to a mountaintop, it's what are the words we code? It's rejuvenating, it's reviving, it's mellows you. And we could talk about the ions and all these things, but that's pretty universal. The only people I hear otherwise are those who maybe live in New York City so long, and they say they go out to nature and it's too quiet, it freaks them out. But that's a different neuroses. I think deep down, you know, if they worked on that, you know, they get back to it. So when I started to connect to the natural world through sound, and when I would be out there, and we've all had this experience where who's been out at some point in your life and you heard a certain rustling of the leaves, and it opened up something in your heart for a few seconds of timelessness, that soul space, or a cricket at night, and there's just a certain sound in a certain moment, you're like, you know, you're just there. Yeah, everybody, right? I'm sure. And pick the sound. The ocean. Who's had one here where it's just like that you hear the certain crashing and you see a certain star? This bug buzzing my ear is not one of those sounds. They go the other direction too. But so I started recording these, the field recordings. I wanted to see, is it possible to kind of capture that essence? And then on top of that, what happens if you bring that into music? There's a guy who makes field recordings called Gordon Hempton. And he talks about silence being the absence of noise, not the absence of sound. And I love that idea because silence to me is just all of this sound out here is silence, beautiful silence. How am I doing on time? Because I don't have time for this song. What time do I need to end on? 10 minutes? Okay, we got to do the song. So there's going to be field recordings you're going to hear in the song. Right, so we know. We all know why. I think that's interesting, and it's a musical element. But then, from musically, I wanted to do things in the music that will help you. It'll help kind of entrain your brain. It'll help relax you. It'll help put you into a kind of different kind of trance, a trance that I hope is more healing, is more introspective. And then, when you're done with it, you feel a bit revived in the same way as when we're out in nature, as opposed to when we have other forms of information where we feel depleted. So some things you might hear in this, obviously you can do this with rhythm. We were just talking about in the hot tubs about how when you're an embryo, the first sense that develops is your hearing. What are you going to hear? You're going to hear your breathing and your mother and the heartbeat, your own and your mother, the first drum beat. And I think that's probably why beats and like four on the floor dance music, all this stuff, it gets us in our bones. It goes way, way back. So you're going to hear a rhythm. It's actually me just doing this on my chest with a microphone. You're going to hear the field recordings. You're going to hear repetition with the live looping. And that repetition creates a sort of like trance and a sort of entrainment. And you're going to hear layers building up on that. And there's an emotional quality to how you build those layers and how they flip around and reverse. It creates a tension and a release. And obviously melody. And the melody is sort of the emotional arc. And what you can do with all of this is you can just use that attention that is your currency. You can use this attention to put it on that. It's very simple. It's a meditation. And thoughts are going to come up and experiences are going to come up. And instead of pushing them away, I would encourage you to welcome them in, into your heart. So let's say you have the thought, oh, I want to go to the bass. I want to go to the bass layer. And then you're going to remember, oh, wow, I'm thinking, God damn it. Instead of the God damn it, be like, I love my wanting. I love my wanting. And then bring that back. Just keep coming back to the heart space as you're seeing where these elements and these sounds take you. Welcome in, you know, these emotions, these thoughts into your heart. So does that sound good? I'm going to play something. Sorry we're short on time. But I might have to cut it a little short. So it's about 10 minutes. So this song is called Let Go, and it's from Ceremony. So you're hearing something that was developed in the moment, meaning this is the first time it was ever played because it didn't exist before this. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that, and maybe gives you a different way to perhaps use some of the East Forest music a little more intentionally, if that's something you're called to do. The track you're hearing in the background is called Inside, and it's from Music to Die To. If you want to check that out, that's from it's basically a live track from a ceremony, so you're hearing a song that's being born in the moment. And yeah, next week we'll probably get back to the interviews and conversations. I forgot to mention also, of course, Dustin, who is with us at the retreat, who is leading the meditations, and I'm going to get him on the podcast too. He's got a lot of really interesting things to say. So thanks for listening. Give us a review. Put a little comments down there, a little 5 stars. Makes a lot of difference. Send your questions to info@eastforest.org. If you want to throw some cash on PayPal, that's the same way too. Keep walking your walk. Don't take any shit, but if you do, do it with grace.